Next, we have an LOS that asks us to describe roles and objectives of central banks. Central banks have several key roles. Sole supplier of currency. Central banks have the sole authority to supply money. Traditionally, such money was backed by gold. The central bank stood ready to convert the money into a pre-specified quantity of gold. Later on, the gold backing was removed, and money supplied by the central bank was deemed legal tender by law. Money not backed by any tangible value is termed fiat money. As long as fiat money holds its value over time and is acceptable for transactions, it can continue to serve as a medium of exchange. Banker to the government and other banks. Central banks provide banking services to the government and other banks in the economy. Regulator and supervisor of payments system. In many countries, central banks may regulate the banking system by imposing standards of risk-taking allowed and reserve requirements of banks under its jurisdiction. Central banks also oversee the payments system to ensure smooth operations of the clearing system domestically and in conjunction with other central banks for international transactions. Lender of last resort. Central banks' ability to print money allows them to supply money to banks with shortages, and this government backing tends to prevent large-scale withdrawals or runs on banks by assuring depositors their funds are secure. Holder of gold and foreign exchange reserves. Central banks are often the repositories of the nation's gold and reserves of foreign currencies. Conductor of monetary policy. Central banks control or influence the quantity of money supplied in an economy and growth of money supply over time. The primary objective of a central bank is to control inflation so as to promote price stability. High inflation is not conducive to a stable economic environment. High expected inflation leads to menu costs, which refer to the cost to businesses of constantly having to change their prices, and shoe leather costs, which refer to the costs to individuals of making frequent trips to the bank so as to minimize their holdings of cash that are depreciating in value due to inflation. In addition to price stability, some central banks have other stated goals, such as stability in exchange rates with foreign currencies, full employment, sustainable positive economic growth, or moderate long-term interest rates. The target inflation rate in most developed countries is a range around 2 to 3%. A target of zero inflation is not used because that increases the risk of deflation, which can be very disruptive for an economy. While most developed countries have an explicit target inflation rate, the U.S. Fed and the Bank of Japan do not. In the United States, this is because the Fed has the additional goals of maximum employment and moderate long-term interest rates. In Japan, it is because deflation rather than inflation has been a persistent problem in recent years. Some developed countries and several developing countries choose a target level for the exchange rate of their currency with that of another country, primarily the U.S. dollar. This is referred to as pegging their exchange rate with the dollar. If their currency appreciates, becoming relatively more valuable, they can sell their domestic currency reserves for dollars to reduce the exchange rate. While such actions may be effective in the short run, for stability of the exchange rate over time, the monetary authorities in the pegging country must manage interest rates and economic activity to achieve their goal. This can lead to increased volatility of their money supply and interest rates. The pegging country essentially commits to a policy intended to make its inflation rate equal to the inflation rate of the country to which they peg their currency. The next LOS says to contrast the costs of expected and unexpected inflation. We turn our attention now to the costs to an economy of inflation, why central banks' target inflation rates are low, and why they care about volatility of inflation rates. At any point in time, economic agents have an expected rate of future inflation in the aggregate. The costs of inflation that is equal to the expected rate are different from the costs of inflation that differs from expectations, with the costs imposed on an economy of unanticipated inflation greater than those of perfectly anticipated inflation. Consider an economy for which expected inflation is 6%, and actual inflation will be 6% with certainty, so that inflation is perfectly anticipated. The prices of all goods and wages could be indexed to this inflation rate, so each month both wages and prices are increased approximately 0.5%. Increased demand for a product would result in monthly price increases of more than 0.5%, and decreased demand would be reflected in prices that increase less than 0.5% per month. One effect of high inflation, even when perfectly anticipated, is that the cost of holding money rather than interest-bearing securities is higher because its purchasing power decreases steadily. This will decrease the quantity of money that people willingly hold and impose some costs of more frequent movement of money from interest-bearing securities to cash or non-interest-bearing deposit accounts to facilitate transactions. To some extent, technology and the Internet have decreased these costs as movement of money between accounts has become much easier. Much more important are the costs imposed on an economy by unanticipated inflation, inflation that is higher or lower than the expected rate of inflation. When inflation is higher than expected, borrowers gain at the expense of lenders as loan payments in the future are made with currency that has less value in real terms. Conversely, inflation that is less than expected will benefit lenders at the expense of borrowers. In an economy with volatile rather than certain inflation rates, lenders will require higher interest rates to compensate for the additional risk they face from unexpected changes in inflation. Higher borrowing rates slow business development and reduce the level of economic activity. A second cost of unexpected inflation is that information about supply and demand from changes in prices becomes less reliable. Suppose that when expected inflation is 5%, a manufacturer sees that prices for his product have increased 10%. If this is interpreted as an increase in demand for the product, the manufacturer will increase capacity and production in response to the perceived increase in demand. If, in fact, general price inflation is 10% rather than the expected 5% over the recent period, the price increase in the manufacturer's product did not result from an increase in demand. The expansion of production will result in excess inventory and capacity, and the firm will decrease production, laying off workers and reducing or eliminating expenditures on increased capacity for some time. Because of these effects, unexpected inflation can increase the magnitude or frequency of business cycles. The destabilizing effects of inflation, either higher than expected or lower than expected, because of reduced information content of price changes, impose real costs on an economy. The next LOS requires us to describe tools used to implement monetary policy. Monetary policy is implemented using the monetary policy tools of the central bank. The three main policy tools of central banks are as follows. Policy rate. In the United States, banks can borrow funds from the Fed if they have temporary shortfalls in reserves. The rate at which banks can borrow reserves from the Fed is termed the discount rate. For the European Central Bank, it is called the refinancing rate. One way to lend money to banks is through a repurchase agreement. The central bank purchases securities from banks that, in turn, agree to repurchase the securities at a higher price in the future. The percentage difference between the purchase price and the repurchase price is effectively the rate at which the central bank is lending to member banks. The Bank of England uses this method, and its policy rate is called the 2-week repo rate or repurchase rate. A lower rate reduces banks' costs of funds, encourages lending, and tends to decrease interest rates overall. A higher policy rate has the opposite effect, decreasing lending and increasing interest rates. In the United States, the federal funds rate is the rate that banks charge each other on overnight loans of reserves. The Fed sets a target for this market-determined rate and uses open market operations to move it to the target rate. Reserve requirements. By increasing the reserve requirement, the percentage of deposits banks are required to retain as reserves, the central bank effectively decreases the funds that are available for lending and the money supply, which will tend to increase interest rates. A decrease in the reserve requirement will increase the funds available for lending and the money supply, which will tend to decrease interest rates. This tool only works well to increase the money supply if banks are willing to lend and customers are willing to borrow. Open market operations. Buying and selling of securities by the central bank is referred to as open market operations. When the central bank buys securities, cash replaces securities in investor accounts. Banks have excess reserves, more funds are available for lending, the money supply increases, and interest rates decrease. Sales of securities by the central bank have the opposite effect, reducing cash in investor accounts, excess reserves, funds available for lending, and the money supply, which will tend to cause interest rates to increase. In the United States, open market operations are the Fed's most commonly used tool and are important in achieving the federal funds target rate. Next, we are required to describe the monetary transmission mechanism. The monetary transmission mechanism refers to the ways in which a change in monetary policy, specifically the central bank's policy rate, affects the price level and inflation. There are four channels through which a change in the policy rates the monetary authorities control directly are transmitted to prices. They are transmitted through their effect on other short-term rates, asset values, currency exchange rates, and expectations. We can examine the transmission mechanism in more detail by considering the effects of a change to a contractionary monetary policy implemented through an increase in the policy rate. Banks' short-term lending rates will increase in line with the increase in the policy rate. The higher rates will decrease aggregate demand as consumers reduce credit purchases and businesses cut back on investment in new projects. Bond prices, equity prices, and asset prices in general will decrease as the discount rates applied to future expected cash flows are increased. This may have a wealth effect because a decrease in the value of households' assets may increase the savings rate and decrease consumption. Both consumers and businesses may decrease their expenditures because their expectations for future economic growth decrease. The increase in interest rates may attract foreign investment in debt securities, leading to an appreciation of the domestic currency relative to foreign currencies. An appreciation of the domestic currency increases the foreign currency prices of exports and can reduce demand for the country's export goods. Taken together, these effects act to decrease aggregate demand and put downward pressure on the price level. A decrease in the policy rate would affect the price level through the same channels, but in the opposite direction.